to be here.
We had the score to get us through this. Thanks for being out there. You guys are a breath of fresh air. The whole score team makes it a lot easier, so I applaud you for it.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, we are Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the numeral 4, KIDS.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional people.
Dan Bernstein.
Sucking the joy out of sports.
Middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Got a lot to talk about today. We got some football news and all sorts of things going on. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. We moved him up to 940. He of NBC Sports is going to join us then. That's because it is day two of our reimagined, remodeled version of Who's Your Guy, as we're getting draft scouting reports from at NFL Draft Scout. From Bleacher Report, Matt Miller. He's going to join us at 10 for two segments. We got through 14 players yesterday. We want to get that same kind of volume. And this was some deep dives on some possibilities for the Bears and whomever that you may be following, because it was our opportunity to find out about so many of these names from a guy who's got scouting reports for hundreds and hundreds of these players. Midday Midway at 10:40. Teddy Greenstein of the Tribune is going to join us at 11. He had a very interesting piece yesterday on recreational golf and where Illinois stands. And I tried to work through sort of my conflicted feelings yesterday about really missing golf terribly and also completely understanding why the governor would want to send the message that he's sending by closing golf courses, and then wondering, you know, should I drive to Wisconsin? Should I drive to Indiana and go get a round in, because it's probably okay if handled correctly? And I don't know how to feel. He's going to help us sort that all out at 11 o'clock today. And guess who's going to join us at 11:25? Former Bears offensive coordinator Mike Martz is going to be on the show. And of all guys, with the tight ends in focus today, somebody who famously was not a big fan of pass-catching tight ends is going to be the guy with whom we're talking about a lot of that stuff. We'll see if his thoughts have evolved over time. 312-644-6767 is our number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein at 670thescore.com. You want to text the text zone, it's at 67011. And it's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Twitter is at Bernstein670. My personal Twitter is at Dan_Bernstein. If you want to hit me up there, that's cool too. Download the radio.com app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Jay Zawoski is our busy executive producer. Ray Diaz is busy executing on the board and doing all the things that he does. Well, let's call it what it is. Sports is more fun when Rob Gronkowski is involved, because he's just fun. And there's a lot of things that he has done to make himself interesting. And sometimes I've come around to maybe, you know, rolling my eye, thinking, oh, guy again. But you know what? He is sort of just a benevolent goofball. I know he's not everybody's cup of tea, but I like having him around. I love the size of this story. Apparently, this was Tom Brady's doing. That this wasn't Buccaneers like, hey, I think you can do this for us. That Brady did this himself. I was reading Robert Mays on The Ringer, who was sort of trying to get his hands around what it all means. But it was apparently Brady just contacting Gronk and saying, come on, do this. And then eventually Jason Light calls up Bill Belichick and says, all right, what's it going to take to get it done? It's how Belichick is that to get a fourth round pick for a retired player? It's amazing. And when I heard the deal, I heard it was during McNeil and Parkins yesterday, and I heard him drop in during the Jim DeShays interview with a little bit of breaking news. I'm like, yeah, that's breaking news. And that deal doesn't happen speculatively. That deal happens if you know it's coming down. There is a Bears component to this, too, that we're going to get to in its entirety because of what it opens up. They have a legit logjam at that crowded tight end position that might open some opportunities, and that speculation has already begun. But maybe we should have seen something coming because on the show Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, this was Rob Gronkowski as a guest on Monday.
People are bowled over by some rumors of late that you could be brought out of retirement and reunite with Tom Brady on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Are there any real conversations happening there around that?
Andy, you want to know what's so great, man? The day that I retired, within 24 hours, there was already rumors that I was coming out of retirement. I'm feeling good right now. I'm happy where I'm at. And you just never know, man.
Ooh, it's interesting because it sounded like Andy Cohen was drawing the wrong conclusion here before he let his guest finish talking right there. When he said, I'm feeling good, you never know, and he jumped in with, you're done. You notice that? That he wasn't really listening, I don't think, to what Gronk was saying. Feeling good and happy, which for Gronk, the mental side was obviously really big too. And speaking of really big, he's not really big. His body changed drastically, as football players' bodies do, because the NFL body, I mean, look at Kyle Long. Look at there's so many examples of guys who the moment they are done on the full caloric regimen, weight regimen, and everything else, every other supplement and whatever, anything else they can get away with goes into their bodies, then it just melts off, and it's really hard to put it back on. Hell, I mean, just with muscle tissue in general, anybody who's had a severe injury and has gone through any, you know, orthopedic surgery knows how unfair it is, how fast muscle can atrophy, and how it takes 10 times the effort to put it back on. So he will benefit then from any delay in the start of the NFL season to get his NFL body back, because that takes a ton of work and dedication to be the size you have to be. Unless he's going to make a decision and say, well, wait a second, I can play a U tight end and we can arrange an offense so I'm not an inline blocker. But I want Gronk to be Gronk. I want him to be that big sort of golden retriever that he always was. And he was okay near the end. He was fighting the injuries. He was fighting a body that was falling apart. The hope is that he's healed up enough that he can turn back the clock a little bit. His agent is Drew Rosenhaus, and his agent also was trying to explain exactly why and how this came about.
I think the break was very good for Rob. Rob gave football everything he had. He fought through a lot of injuries. He's had about a dozen surgeries in his career. He's been an absolute warrior. He's fought through a lot of pain. He plays a very physical position. He gets hit hard all the time. He really needed a break, physically and mentally. He fought hard the year they won the Super Bowl. He played injured pretty much the entire season. He was never truly himself. He's a team player. This time off really reinvigorated him physically. He tells me he feels fantastic, the best he's ever felt. His weight's back up to 260. He passed his physical with flying colors today. He's just really excited about playing football again. And being in Florida is exciting for him. Playing with Tom Brady, obviously, is huge. Rob has a residence in Florida. He's got family in Florida. And it'll be nice to be in the warm weather and play on natural grass. It's going to be a lot of fun for Rob to switch gears and be in the Tampa Bay environment. I think Rob was really interested in coming back about a month ago. Shortly after Tom Brady went to Tampa, Rob and I had a conversation that this is a situation that would be appealing to him. Obviously, this was a deal that New England had to feel good about. Tampa had to feel good about this. This wasn't just about Rob. All the parties involved had to be in agreement. Rob was a very classy guy in the way he handled this. Rob could have come out of retirement and become reinstated and put the Patriots in a tough situation cap-wise. But he decided not to do that. He decided to be patient and really allow this to work out. He loves New England. He loves the Patriots organization, Coach Belichick, the Krafts, his teammates that are still there. He had an amazing run in New England. It was just time for him to continue his career with Tom Brady in Florida, with Tampa. It was something cool and exciting and challenging for him. He's well-rested and looking forward to playing with Tom again.
That is Rob Gronkowski's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, yesterday on ESPN Sports Center, explaining exactly how this happened and why it happened. So I don't know that he's 260. That's the agent talking. Maybe take that with a bit of a grain of salt, but he's going to have some time to get his NFL body back. And I love how Brady was the impetus behind this, that there wasn't any sort of ulterior motive of Tampa Bay thinking, well, maybe if we get Brady, we can lure Gronkowski out of retirement. You'd think that were that the case, they would have arranged their receiving core a little bit differently. And now they've got guys who may be, you know, kind of available for some teams that I don't know might need a tight end. Now, I'm going to need some help on here because I'm not a big pro wrestling guy, as you know, to say the least. That's even probably selling it short. But apparently, Rob Gronkowski is a title holder. He has a championship belt as, what is it, the WWE 24/7 champion. Am I getting this right, Jay?
Yes, he has to defend his title anytime, anywhere. And yesterday, the WWE issued a statement that say, congratulations to Rob Gronkowski, the current WWE 24/7 champion, on his return to football. Per the rules of the 24/7 title, Gronk must defend his championship at all times in any location. He could be celebrating a touchdown pass from Tom Brady anytime, anywhere. So, you're going to put it beyond Vince McMahon to have a referee in the end zone, a WWE referee in the end zone of a preseason game, and have Tom Brady pin Gronk after a touchdown or something like that?
Yeah, after everything that the NFL and XFL have gone through, the idea of them working out a deal to sort of cross-pollinate the kayfabe of one thing with the reality of or semi-reality of the other, I don't know. So wait, hold on a second. Rewind this. Yes. Anytime, anywhere. Is this sounds to me like a fraternity house kind of game where, like a game of tag, so literally, and he could be in a restaurant, and someone could challenge him, and then as long as there is some sort of official there to see whether or not somebody is pinned, there is a wrestling match that could happen.
Yes, I would imagine they would like a camera crew to be there as well, conveniently. I am like a very half-assed wrestling fan. I'll watch it if it's on and there's nothing else on, so I know a little bit about what's going on. What I've learned about this title is it's a way to involve their crappy wrestlers that they're paying they have on a roster. And every now and again, they put these bums out there to try to win it. And they're like, oh, there's that guy that we're paying. All right, he's gone again. It usually only lasts about 35 seconds. But it's pretty funny. And the fact that Gronk has it, it's pretty amusing. He jumped off a scaffold on a bunch of wrestlers to win the title at WrestleMania in Tampa, oddly enough, or was supposed to be in Tampa.
And the best thing, you notice that he does have a house in Tampa, and it was described. For most people, you would hear this description and wonder what the hell they're talking about. But it's obvious it's not a full-time residence. He says he's got a $2 million, quote-unquote, party house. And this is one of the few athletes where you can say, oh, yeah, okay, that makes complete sense that he would have a $2 billion party house.
Yeah, separate place for his parties. Why wouldn't
he? He also did a lot of like that booze cruise or something. I think we had a coworker.
We did.
Back in the day. And
yes,
she went to the Gronk cruise.
Yep.
Did we ever get debriefed, so to speak, on what might be actually occurring? Because I hadn't thought of that until just now, that someone that we worked with in our hallways back in the day was all excited, saying, where are you going? I'm going on the Rob Gronkowski party cruise.
Okay. We were friendly. I saw some pictures, and the Gronk cruise is exactly what you would imagine the Gronk cruise to be. I'll just leave it at that. It is not like it's not like Gronk like show. It's not like you go to like Bo Jackson's baseball camp, and he like drives by in a car and waves everybody on one of the days. Gronk is at the Gronk cruise the whole time.
That's like my Wilt Chamberlain's bar story. If you're gonna put your name on something, and that's why when when my son years ago signed up for a local satellite Cal Ripken baseball school, and I said, yeah, but it's not like Cal Ripken's actually there. And he comes home that day, he comes home from Fillon's with his hat signed by Cal. He's like, yeah, Cal Ripken was there for like 2 hours today. Like, what? He said, yeah. He said, he came by and was a part of it, was showing us how to hit and all that. Like, oh, okay, well, forget what I said then. That you were, there's so many times where you go to some celebrity restaurant, and forgive me if people have heard the story before, but I always tell it because it was in Boca Raton, Florida, a Tuesday night. And my friend and I, like, hey, let's go play some pool, grab a couple of beers or something. And I said, all right, it's Wilt Chamberlain's. Like, what do you mean it's Wilt Chamberlain's? And I said, well, it's his namesake bar and restaurant. And we go in there, and it's empty on a Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. There's nobody there because all the old Jews are asleep, and they don't go out and drink beer anyway. And the only person in there was Wilt Chamberlain. And he's just standing there. He's like, oh, hi, Wilt Chamberlain. He's like, welcome to Wilt Chamberlain's. And he actually went behind the bar and poured us our beers. It was almost like this dream logic kind of thing. But that would be quite odd.
That's the dream when you go into one of those places that the person will actually be there. But if they were the only person there, I'd feel really uncomfortable and want to leave. Like, what's wrong?
Yeah, it was like the only guy working. There was somebody wiping down tables. There were a couple people who were like finishing a meal, and there was Wilt Chamberlain. And they're like, oh, all right. I did see Dan Marino double fisting draft beers at Dan Marino's. So that was okay. That was pretty cool. And
sort of get free drinks.
But the Rob Gronkowski cruise. Now I guess once you hit international waters, all bets are off, and you can do whatever you want. But here's the football truth to what's going on. The football truth is available tight ends or potentially available professional established tight ends. So let's get into what the ramifications may be for the Bears. Want to find out what you think, what you might want as well. 312-644-6767. Feel free to jump on in. I'm Dan Bernstein. We got a lot to do today. This might be your best time outside of Who's Your Guy to call in and talk some football on the Score.
When you think Chicago sports, think Mully and Hall. Chicago's most listened to sports morning show, hands down. They cover all of Chicago's teams, from the daily wins and losses to the most historic moments in Chicago sports. Trust Mully and Hall to start your day. Mornings 5 to 9, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station.
This is Boomer Esiason with the Radio.com Sports Minute. Half a century ago, the Mets' Tom Seaver received the first of his three Cy Young Awards. He then produced a performance for the ages. Seaver started slowly, yielding a second-inning home run to Al Ferrara, the Padres' Brooklyn-born concert pianist-turned-outfielder. Eventually, Seaver found his groove, and with two outs in the sixth, he faced Ferrara again, and this time, he struck him out. Eight straight strikeouts followed, bringing up Ferrara with two out in the ninth, and Seaver on fire. Count reached 1-2. The right pitch would have been an outside slider, Seaver said, but I decided to challenge him with my best pitch, a fastball. I went for the strikeout. Swing and a miss. 19 strikeouts, including 10 in a row. That is an unbroken record, folks, by the real Tom Terrific. I'm Boomer Esiason.
The socially distanced NFL Draft is finally here, and you can follow all the action at BetOnline.net. Wondering who will be the first, second, and third draft pick? Do you know if more offensive or defensive players will be taken in the first round? Have a hunch on how many trades will take place in the first round? Maybe you're into oddities, like how many draftees' dogs will be shown during first-round coverage. Before the draft goes live, head over to BetOnline.net for the latest props, lines, and odds. Bring the draft home with BetOnline.net.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Boy, things have gotten really weird.
Yeah, it almost seems like every day you don't know what to expect. So we are going to try and help get you through it.
I'm Charles Feldman.
And I'm Mike Simpson, and we're the host of the new podcast, Coronavirus Daily. We bring in some of the top experts all around the world to ask the questions that you have.
Because we are all in this together, and you know what? We are all going to survive this together.
Again, Coronavirus Daily on the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Doctor's log, hell date 2020. It's 7 a.m. I just ended my shift in the emergency room and now I am headed out. I grew up watching Star Trek reruns as a kid, and in the intro to Star Trek, they have this description of their mission, which is to go where no man has gone before. Right now, health and medical industries are on that kind of mission, and it really feels like my colleagues and I are embarking on this new journey as we stand on the front lines of the COVID crisis. We keep saying to each other, we've never done this before. We've never seen anything like this on this scale before. And so I wanted to capture some of this journey. So I'm starting my own captain's log. I'll be documenting my personal experiences and thoughts as this pandemic unfolds around us. I'm Esther Chu, MD, and this is my doctor's log. Go subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your podcasts. Doctor's log, hell date 2020. Right now, health and medical industries are feeling the pressure of the COVID-19 outbreak. Doctors are feeling that pressure. Nurses are feeling that pressure. I'm definitely feeling that pressure. And so I wanted to capture some of this journey. It's a log of this scary adventure we're all on together. I'm Esther Chu, MD, and this is my doctor's log. Go subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance, reminding you that when you adopt a shelter pet, you discover all the things that make them unique. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
This is high blood pressure. Get back on your plan. Go to loweryourhbp.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Brady lost one for Gronkowski, reaching for it. Touchdown. They look unstoppable right now. And New England has its first lead of the game. Gronkowski beats Darby for the touchdown.
Yo soy fiesta.
A Rob Gronkowski touchdown from the 2017 Super Bowl, courtesy NBC. And indeed, he is back again. Rob Gronkowski coming out of his brief retirement to join the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after they swing a deal along with a 7th-round pick for a 4th-round pick. Bill Belichick getting something for nothing, just for the rights to a player who wasn't going to go back and play for them. And I think before we get into some of the potential Bears angles as the dominoes fall here, we should re-examine what Gronk sounded like when he walked away and when all of a sudden he let all that weight come off his body. We know that he was hurting. He was hurting physically. he was hurting emotionally. And it was at the rollout for a CBD oil company, a CBD products company with which he was involved that he was fronting, that he talked a little bit about why he wanted to be done, at least temporarily, with the NFL.
I knew it was right there and then. I was like, last game, Super Bowl game, just give it all you have. So, you know, the game went on and everything, and I got done with the game. I could barely walk. Now I could barely walk. I'm at the after party. I go to after party like this. I sit down, and I'm just chilling all day, like the rest of the night till like 3 a.m. I try to go to bed. I slept for 5 minutes that night. I couldn't even think. I was in tears in my bed after a Super Bowl victory. It didn't make that much sense to me. And then for 4 weeks, I couldn't even sleep for more than 20 minutes a night after a Super Bowl win. And I was like, damn, like, this sucks. Like, it didn't feel good. I needed to recover. I was not in a good place. Football was bringing me down, and I didn't like it. And I was losing that joy in life, like, the joy. I'm sorry right now, but, oh, dang, I really was, and I was fighting through it. And I knew what I signed up for, and I knew what I was fighting through. And I knew I just have to fix myself.
He's not a complicated man, but that was genuine and emotional stuff. And it's part of, I think, what makes him charming, because he's just a lug, and you can't fake any of that. There's something real about him that just makes sports very, very sportsy. There's a note here from Rudy, who emails to ask, am I a bad guy because I still kind of want the entire Tampa thing to fall on its face? I have nothing against vapid Tom Brady with his stupid healing products and trademarking anything as lame as possible. Nothing against Gronk and the no thoughts he's ever had in his head. But I'd be perfectly okay if it just didn't work. And as far as the Bears, they have 100 tight ends. The key is getting a good one. Yeah, well, there's a couple good ones now, and ones who may reasonably be available. And I actually think that both O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate, just by the numbers, seem a bit underused. It seems like there's just a lot of meat on the bone here, where O.J. Howard, a first-round pick in 2017, he's 6'6", 251. And the most receptions he's had, last year he had 34 catches. 2018 he had 34 catches. 2017 he had 26 catches. That's not modern, heavy usage, tight end production. And Cameron Brate is older, but well-regarded, 6'5", 245. As a tight end, his receptions, he's actually been more productive. In 2015, when he played 14 games, he had 23 catches, up to 57 in 2016, 48, and then down to 30 and 36. And maybe that's a Bruce Arians thing, that he doesn't necessarily make use of that spot. I mean, adding it up as an aggregate, you look at the tight end production, you know, it's from a Bears perspective, it's laughable to compare what they did last year, which was historically awful. Those numbers of the overall position, where they just kept throwing guys at it and ended up with absolutely nothing. This is going to be one of these questions. And this is the larger question that I've had about the Bears and about Ryan Pace. And we talked with Hub Arkush about it. It was late last week. And he thinks that Ryan Pace is on very steady ground because of the overall body of work, regardless of the Mitchell Trubisky fiasco, and thinks that he doesn't have to necessarily think that this is a must-win desperation season. That's Hub's opinion. I have felt it differently. In that, if you look at the average run of general managers, if you look at the time that the Bears have given their GMs, that and the overall body of work, I thought the Tribune did a nice job of laying out sort of a schematic assessment of all of the Ryan Pace drafts, of saying whether it was a hit, a miss, a bust, a home run. And there has been more bad than good. There's been more miss than hit on his overall draft sort of battleship board there, if you were going to put the little pegs in, the whites and the reds. But if, in fact, he's operating in a, I got to win this year and let's do this and let's look at if we're going to bring in Nick Foles and if we're going to have Khalil Mack where he is in his career and Akeem Hicks where he is in his career, that maybe you say draft capital doesn't mean as much as somebody like Cameron Brait or O.J. Howard. I would completely understand it. And I'm not here to say right move, wrong move. I want us to just be aware of what it says about where Ryan Pace thinks he is, about sort of where he thinks his clock is at the moment. 312-644-6767 for your Bears thoughts, too. The texter's weighing in here. The 630 says, go get Cameron Brait for a little bit of nothing. It's Billy in Utah who says O.J. Howard's going to cost you too much. Yeah, Cameron Brait's a little bit older, and again, that's how we set the clock. If it's a guy who's been, I think he's going to be 29 in July as opposed to 25, 26, O.J. Howard is, the O.J. Howard, by the time the season rolls around, will be 25. So, there's so much value in there. And if I understand it properly, we'll talk to Mike Florio about it in just a bit. If I understand it correctly, if you trade for O.J. Howard, you get not just the final year of this deal, but you then can exercise that fifth-year option, the very same one that they're pretending that they're not thinking about regarding Mitchell Trubisky, even though we know they are. When we heard Ryan Pace talk yesterday, he said they're not getting to that yet. No, they don't have to, but it's not as if they haven't really talked about it. 630 proposes, would you trade a second-round pick to Tampa for O.J. Howard and other conditional draft picks back or late round or Cohen straight up? Oof, that's an interesting question. I'm not as high on Tariq Cohen as I was. I think he's sort of turned into more of a contact-averse wide receiver than the running back that they once expected. And having your return man, having Cordero Patterson as your more dangerous return man, has given you a little bit of what you thought he was going to give you, excited by that sort of multifaceted Swiss Army knife kind of role. I don't know what the price would be for O.J. Howard. I don't know what the market's going to be. There's even a thought that it could be the Patriots themselves who go after O.J. Howard. And that's where you really have had some of the divergent speculation about where they are right now. That I have seen some experts say that they think the Patriots are going to win 6 or 7 games, and others say that they think the Patriots are going to continue to be the Patriots in all of their Patriotness and give you 11 or 12 wins and absolutely not miss a beat. So that's going to remain a fascinating story if and when the football comes back. Also, on this too, the discussions that Tampa Bay is having, that are having, in their offensive meeting room, you've got an offensive-minded head coach. You have a quarterback at 42 who knows exactly what passes he wants to throw and when he wants to throw them. I don't think he's quite as sort of OCD about it as Peyton Manning, because that's been the comp for an old quarterback with declining physical skill, that when Peyton Manning went to Denver, he said, no, here, we're setting up this camera here and this camera here. This is how we're going to film practice. This is what I want to see. This is what I'm going to run, and this is how we're going to do it. I don't think it's quite to that regard that Brady is insisting on actually running everything, but the offense isn't going to be the same. He's going to figure out how to hybridize whatever it is that Bruce Arians wants to do. And, man, they have the weapons to do it. I wish I could, if I gave you an estimated draft cost or a trade value cost for O.J. Howard, I would be making it up. And I don't want to do that. These 815 jokes, can we just trade 7 tight ends for O.J. Howard? Ah, the Chicago sports fan score fallacy of keep adding up bad players in a package to get somebody good. Yeah, it's been going on for years in every sport. 630 texter says the Bears need to dump Cohen for a pick. Miami has so many draft picks, they might be able to get something for Cohen. I'm not looking to dump the guy. I'm looking to get rid of him and just out of spite, or because I don't necessarily like him as a player. But if you're asking me, am I weighing the opportunity to move him for something else? Sure. A 773 texter. People in Chicago are rating Ryan Pace unfavorably, and it's wrong. Pace has done a really good job of transforming this team from where it was. The Bears have real talent. He misses some in the draft or free agency. This is news, but all GMs miss on the draft and free agency. Look at the history. Pace, to me, is a really good GM. Well, I think he's all of what his body of work says he is right now. And we don't know if he's fighting for his life or not. We don't know if tomorrow night and Friday night, when the lights go on, and make no mistake, even though the Bears don't have a pick tomorrow night, there could be action involving the Bears. Don't rule out Ryan Pace trading somewhere and doing something, because he does stuff like that. And anything he said yesterday is no indication of what he's actually going to do. So I think there's been a presumption that just because the Bears are not yet technically involved, he's very involved. The Bears are extremely involved now and when the draft starts, and as all this is going on and all these machinations are occurring, whether it's what is happening if Pace is on the phone with Jason Light in Tampa Bay, and he better damn be. He better be one of the first phone calls, just at least speculatively saying, hey, what are we talking about here? What are the price ranges? Where are you in your discussions? How available is Brait? How available is O.J. Howard? And I want to find out from Matt Nagy whom he likes better. This all needs to be fluid and ongoing, and the Bears need to be front and center. But once that thing starts and we are all sitting in front of our televisions looking at whatever it's going to be, did you see you can actually bet as to whether or not the draft broadcast gets hacked? I saw that was one of the available prop bets that Jimmy Shapiro had with betonline.ag. He said you can bet on who the number one overall pick, whether it's probably Joe Burrow, who he's going to hug first, mom, dad, girlfriend, friend, or sibling. Will the number one overall pick cry? Will there be a trade in the top 10? And the odds on will the NFL draft be hacked, you can get 8-1 on yes, and it's only 1-25 on no. There is a company, apparently, and this, I don't know if this counts as a hack. I guess it would. There's a farm that's actually lending out their farm animals to be part of Zoom meetings, where if you are an employer or if you're some, you know, wacky assistant manager and you're in charge of a Zoom call, that you could have out of nowhere like a horse just show up, or a pig, or a braying donkey. It's actually fairly creative, and I have to give them credit, but if somebody wanted to do that, when they put the Bears on the clock and you end up with a braying donkey in the middle of it, I'm there for chaos and insanity, but hopeful that the Bears just aren't ridiculous in this. And we'll know if they think they can win this year. We'll know if Ryan Pace thinks he has the kind of stability to want to build the roster for future years. But O.J. Howard, that's the guy you're calling about today. Cameron Brait, that's the guy you're calling about today. And it's all because Rob Gronkowski has decided, hey, he wants to play football again. The sports world's a better place when Gronk is involved. We're going to talk about that return. And there's another, Percy Harvin has posted a video of himself. Was he like it's like a $6 million man. He looks like Steve Austin in slow motion running up a ramp at a parking garage or something. I couldn't quite tell what it was, but he's showing off the fact that he's mentally and physically also in good shape. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk will give us the latest on everything that is happening in the NFL. Who's Your Guy comes your way at 10, installment number 2 of 4 with Matt Miller. So have your guy in mind and be ready to dial starting at the top of the hour. Florio next on The Score.
Hey, Lawrence Holmes here. Being live and local with 670 The Score is more important than ever. So as America adjusts to the new work-at-home environment, trust us to keep you informed, entertained, and perhaps have a laugh or two along the way. Just tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score from radio.com and stream The Score live from your smart speaker instantly. 670 The Score is live and local, a radio.com sports station.
This segment is brought to you by the UPS Store.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, it's Dan Bernstein here. You know, for a couple years, I've been talking about my friends at Aloha Restoration. And there have been these storms hitting lately, lots of hail in Evanston, Skokie, Winnetka, and more, high winds tearing off. I want to mention Aloha Restoration's parent company, Aloha Construction. Because right now, Aloha Construction will provide free property inspections to check your roof, your siding, your gutters. Are there missing pieces? Are things out of whack? They're going to do this while practicing a contact-free process. That's right, contact-free. Call Aloha Construction at 847-540-7711 or visit aloha.com. Aloha Construction. We rain when it storms.
The socially distanced NFL Draft is finally here, and you can follow all the action at BetOnline.net. Wondering who will be the first, second, and third draft pick? Do you know if more offensive or defensive players will be taken in the first round? Have a hunch on how many trades will take place in the first round? Maybe you're into oddities like how many draftees' dogs will be shown during first round coverage. Before the draft goes live, head over to BetOnline.net for the latest props, lines, and odds. Bring the draft home with BetOnline.net.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every home has things it needs, things that need to be maintained, fixed, or replaced. The Home Depot is here to help you get it done. You can easily find what you need on our app, order it online with the push of a button, and have it brought to your door with free delivery on over a million items. We have the essentials you need, the online know-how you may need to do it yourself, and low prices that make it all possible. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
The Bulls' Kobe White.
Hey, Chicago, if you haven't noticed, we aren't playing right now, and you shouldn't be either. As much as you want to see us play, and as much as we want to play for you, we need your help to get back on the court. Please do your part to help slow COVID-19 down. Please follow all local health advisories. Stay home and help save lives.
The Score is here for you. We're always live and local. Just tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score from radio.com. The Score is helping Chicago stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stayconnected.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry, I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
Pro Football Talk.
I wouldn't listen to some of those people out there, especially guys like Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
Never a shortage of NFL storylines to discuss with Mike Florio. He is at Pro Football Talk on Twitter. He of NBC Sports and ProFootballTalk.com. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Well, the story of the day, and it broke in the afternoon yesterday, that Rob Gronkowski was not only going to play, he's going to reunite with Tom Brady and leave it to Bill Belichick to get a fourth-round pick for a retired player. Where are we right now in understanding what the other ramifications of this are, Mike?
Well, I mean, it's still too early to know exactly how the Buccaneers plan to use Rob Gronkowski. There was so much speculation last year that the idea of if he would come back and play during the 2019 season, he's a guy that you save until the postseason. In 2018, it feels like they used him more and more as they got later in the campaign. I don't know that he's a guy you plug in from week one and go full bore. He's been so banged up over the course of his career. And there's more speculation now, obviously, that the Buccaneers will trade tight end O.J. Howard because they also have Cameron Brate at the position. You could make the argument that they should just keep all three of them, play a two tight end set with two receivers and one running back, and work Gronk in slowly and gradually and try to get the most out of him later in the season. But, you know, for now, it just adds a dash of fascination at a time when we just assumed we weren't going to see Gronk anytime, any place, anywhere in the NFL. He's got this wrestling thing that's starting to take off. He's working with Fox. He did a good job of shouting down the possibility of coming back last year, but he never really closed the door. And earlier this week, he made it clear the door was still open. And it's amazing how quickly it all happened yesterday. It felt like it was going to be something that played out over the course of the rest of the week. And it was like 35, 40 minutes from the first whisper of the possibility to the deal being done.
I'm trying to size up the potential market for either O.J. Howard or Cameron Brait. And both are valuable for different reasons. Howard, obviously younger, but he's still on the rookie deal with an opportunity, as I understand it, to extend that fifth-year option. And then Cameron Brait is a little older, but doesn't have any guaranteed money attached at all. So it would appear they could drive a fairly hard bargain for either one of those guys, considering the value you're getting back.
Yeah, and I think here's the other thing to keep in mind as well. And Howard is the one who would be more vulnerable to a trade scenario. If you're going to trade him for a 2020 draft pick, you get the deal done, you do it with a team where you trust their people to keep their mouths shut, and then the deal gets officially filed with the league when the pick is on the clock that the Buccaneers are getting for Howard. Because if you're going to grab a draft pick for a guy, whatever round it would be, you want that pick when it's on the clock. You don't want to have your name take the place of Howard's new team name in the stack of picks, because then all the teams behind you can spend their time speculating on what you're going to take, and they can try to get ahead of you and get the guy that you would otherwise want. So it's always good to control the board, get the pick when it's on the clock, and it's entirely possible that as soon as today, there could be a wink nod deal in place with a team for an O.J. Howard trade, and everyone will keep it quiet until that pick is on the clock, and then we'll hear that there's been a trade, and O.J. Howard goes to Team X, and the Buccaneers get the pick, and they don't have to worry about anyone trying to leapfrog them in line.
I know you're talking about the fact that maybe they keep everybody, and of course, they certainly could. But the fact is, this isn't fantasy football, and you got to keep a lot of people happy who want to catch a lot of passes, and that's a lot of mouths to feed. And I'm wondering if Bruce Arians is looking at it that way, but it's great to talk about an embarrassment of riches among your skill position players, but we know everybody wants the ball all the time, and it really isn't all that easy to keep everybody taken care of. Isn't that a consideration?
Well, it is a consideration, but when the quarterback is Tom Brady, I think it becomes less of a concern, because if any of the players who aren't getting the ball as much as they want the ball start to get mouthy about it, even if it's Gronk, right? Hey, I didn't come back for this. I mean, Tom Brady's not going to let them get away with it. I'm reminded of a story from years ago when Warren Moon was the Vikings quarterback and Chris Carter with his histrionics complaining that he was opening to get the ball. Warren Moon said to him, look, if you ever do that again, I will never throw you another pass. It's up to you. And so the quarterback's got a lot of leadership and leverage and leeway when it comes to that kind of thing. And also, if you're winning, right? Did we ever hear anybody from the Patriots complain about not getting the football? No, because you'll win. So that's the easiest thing. You'll win and everyone buys in. And if you're not winning and a guy's not getting the football, he's going to have to incur the wrath of Tom Brady if he decides to step out of line and complain about it.
I wonder if the Bears are that team you're talking about, or could be the team you're talking about making that wink-wink deal for O.J. Howard at this point, because everything the Bears do, I'm looking at, is I'm building an evidentiary case as to how safe Ryan Pace thinks he is in his position. Because on the one hand, you'd think for a guy to have so royally screwed up the Mitch Trubisky move that there is some sort of, you got to pay the piper for that. And at some point, when you've tied your future to that quarterback, you've either done so or not. And we said it at the time. We said he's tied his future to Mitchell Trubisky. Well, has he or hasn't he? I don't think we know the answer to that, because there are some differing opinions as to where the Bears stand here. I think this draft is going to say a lot about how much risk he's willing to absorb here, and whether or not he's really ready to accelerate anything into a must-win scenario. How else can we watch that?
Well, I think the Nick Foles trade told me that he's not going to go down with the ship, that Pace will cut and run on Trubisky and pivot to someone else, because ultimately he knows if he continues to keep himself tied to Trubisky, if they're joined at the hip and they're trying to run the three-legged race, I mean, Trubisky's already fallen down. So Pace can either cut him loose and keep running or fall down with him. And I think the Foles trade means that Pace is going to do what he can to save his butt. And if that means taking a mid to, you know, like second, third, I don't know what it's going to take to get Howard. If they have multiple teams interested, it's going to take more. But if you're willing to trade the opportunity to bring in a guy that may or may not contribute this year to a guy that you, if you think he's going to play well, I mean, your assessment has to be O.J. Howard is going to provide the punch that we need at the tight end position. If you like the guy and you think he's going to help you, I think that Pace has accepted that they need to win some games or there's going to be some changes and he's going to be the first one to go, because he's never going to get past the fact that he traded up from number three to number two to draft Trubisky while both Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes were on the board.
As this is going on, all of us out of nowhere, Percy Harvin posts a video of himself like running up a ramp in a parking garage in slow motion. I thought he looked like the $6 million man. I was waiting for the old sound effects. Or uprooting a tree to swing it at people. And he hasn't played since 2016.
Yeah, look,
what does it mean that he says that he's in a better place?
You know what I think it means? I think it means three things. First, I think he watched the game between the Vikings and the Packers last Monday night, where it was 2009, Percy Harvin's rookie season, and we were all reminded that Percy Harvin once played in the NFL, including Percy Harvin. Second, the NFL has essentially decriminalized marijuana, which I think specifically for Percy Harvin is a consideration when it comes to playing football again. And number three, now that Brad Childress is completely and totally and entirely retired from the NFL, there's no chance Percy Harvin will ever have another migraine headache. So I think those three things come together, and maybe Harvin comes back. He's not, you know, he's still got, you know, as far as useful life goes, it's not like he's 40. I mean, it's only been 11 years since he was drafted, and he was extremely good. There was talk during the 2012 season, based on the first 4 weeks, that he was an MVP candidate, not Offensive Player of the Year or Pro Bowl or All-Pro, league MVP for the first four games of his last year in Minnesota. That's how good he is capable of being.
Talking with Mike Florio on Sports Radio 670, WSCR, The Score. There were some reports that in the dry run that the NFL conducted for draft technology, this unique remote draft, that it wasn't exactly smooth. I don't know what you heard. I don't know whether it's local Wi-Fi issues or actual bandwidth within some of these guys' homes as well, or electrical interference, saying somebody's running a vacuum cleaner or the kids are playing Fortnite. What are you hearing about how they're trying to idiot-proof this whole thing?
Well, multiple general managers went on the record after the mock draft that they did on Monday to say that ultimately it worked out fine, even though there were some glitches early on. Here's the problem in a situation like this, and this is where human factors come into play. When you have people involved in this process that didn't want it in the first place, that don't like it, that wish they could be at the facility, they're going to be inclined to complain about anything, and they're going to be inclined to seize on the smallest little glitch and go, aha, see? And then they run to a reporter with that, and the reporter runs to Twitter with it without thinking it through, and the next thing you know, it becomes a thing. So when I first saw it, my thought was, well, this is the equivalent of old man yells at cloud because somebody who didn't want to do a virtual draft had something that he could then say, see, this is proof that this is all a mess and a mistake. And they can yell at the clouds all they want. It's happening. And there is going to be some leeway in the event of a legitimate and actual technical glitch. But for the most part, the league isn't going to listen to the whining and the complaining and the, oh boy, it used to be different, you know, when we actually could be at our facility and we disagree with the decision not to be at our facility. It doesn't matter. At some point, they got to strap in and they got to deal with it. And so I think they'll be fine. And if there is a real issue, the NFL will deal with it.
I read an interesting hypothesis that really when you think about human nature, it makes sense. And the hypothesis is that because scouts haven't been around each other as much, there's going to be some wild differences or wide-ranging differences in valuation on the respective draft boards of teams. Because what he said was, hey, these guys, when they go to their pro days and when they're in the same airport gates around each other, that even if it's subconsciously, they all say, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of that guy? And there is a there's a way that they homogenize opinions on players that is simply not happening right now. And I think that's really cool. I think that's really the way it should be, is you get guys who say, I think this, and they don't feel that they have to validate it by bouncing it off an old friend they worked with another team somewhere. And they're just, they're not going to have this subconscious homogenization of opinion on players.
Oh, you're absolutely right. We talked about this dynamic today on PFT Live. And the other side of it, too, is teams keeping their plans secret, because you really can't trust all the guys who are walking around wearing the polo shirt with your logo on it, because ultimately every individual employee of an NFL team is looking out for him or herself. And it's about having a network in place. I don't want to be overly cynical, but I want to be realistic about it. You want to have the network in place in case you let go, you land somewhere else. And I think there's a lot of exchanging of information of, hey, I want to keep my relationship with this person who may be able to give me a job if I get fired. So I'm going to casually let something out of the bag that, you know, maybe I wouldn't otherwise say if I didn't know this person. And that's how some of this stuff kind of gets around. When you eliminate those opportunities for those people to speak face to face, when there's going to be a digital footprint of every communication that someone has had with someone from another team, you are going to see much more discretion exercised than when they are all together at the various pro day workouts. So whether it's groupthink, whether it's somebody who is playing both sides of the fence and acting as a double agent to try to help himself in the future, whatever it is, less information gets out, and we don't know. You know, back in 2017, nobody knew that the Chiefs and the Saints loved Patrick Mahomes because they managed to keep it quiet. That doesn't happen all the time. This year, there may be plenty of teams out there that love plenty of guys that we don't know about, because it's all been kept more quiet, given the fact that these scouts aren't gathering. And you may have some teams that realize when the dust settles on this process, hey, we kind of like it this way. We don't have the blabbermouths out there meandering around with all the other scouts and letting our secrets out of the bag.
Yeah, I also think that you have to rely on scouts more in general, because you don't have the same amount of data that's been generated, and you don't have some of that, the analytics side of it, because they're just not out there doing stuff. This is when the old school crusty guy, I know it when I see it, I know it when I hear it, that this guy's going to be good because he compares to that guy. We're getting back to some of the old grassroots scouting, where maybe there's some old guys in organizations where there's some institutional knowledge that's being tapped in a way it hasn't before.
It's just about studying the film and seeing who can play football and who can't, right? And I think so much of the extra stuff that was done in past years, it gets done, number one, because you can do it. It's like Congress. The more money you give them, the more money they're going to spend, period. And so if you have more time, if you have more opportunities, you have more things you can do, all the teams are going to do it, and they're not going to ask questions about it. They're just going to do it. But I think so much of the information that gets gathered before the draft is about CYA, right? If you draft a guy who's a bust, you want to go back to that file, and you want to be able, when called on the carpet, to say, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. This is why we liked him. Or if you passed on him, like everyone who passed on Lamar Jackson, and there was a report at one point last season that GMs were going back to their scouts to see who did and didn't believe in Lamar Jackson. You want to have that file where you say, we didn't like a guy because of this, 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 this. Hey, he became a star, but here are the very real reasons why we shied away. That's what they do, and that's what is used to save people's jobs. You know, would it be a shock to learn that at some point over the past 3 years, Ryan Pace has had to meet with George McCaskey and explain exactly what in the hell he was thinking when he drafted Trubisky instead of Mahomes and Watson? And he may have a file as thick as an old school phone book that justifies why he did what he did. And it may look very plausible and reasonable. And it's all based on all that crap that they used to be able to develop during the draft process that preceded this year's crazy upside down reality.
Now, it's what Joe Madden always says. Just because a decision didn't work out doesn't mean it was the wrong decision based on what I knew at the time.
That's right? Absolutely right.
And he said, like, Joe Maddon said that the day he was hired, and I said, wow, you talk about a politician. You talk about a guy inoculating against criticism the day he takes the job. It was ballsy and brilliant, and it's, and the fact is, it's not 100% incorrect, purely logically.
Well, that's right, because we had a reason for doing it. We made a strategic decision based upon the factors. Here are the factors. Here is why we did what we did. Here's the film from North Carolina that justified why we fell in love with Mitchell Trubisky. Here's the film from Texas Tech that we looked at and we said, Patrick Mahomes isn't going to translate to the next level. I mean, you have it all buttoned up. And see, that's going to be the problem this year, because you've got less stuff you can use to build your file as to why you liked a guy or why you didn't like a guy.
Mike Florio, next time we talk, we'll have a very different NFL landscape one way or another, and we'll look forward to it. Thanks, man. Appreciate
Take care.
It. That is Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, and now we have open phone lines. And what that means is that you have a guy, and you want to know how good that college football player is going to be in the NFL. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask, who's your guy? And you're going to answer. And Matt Miller of Bleacher Report, at NFL Draft Scout and the Stick to Football podcast, is going to give you his scouting report on your guy. 312-644-6767. Get it locked and loaded. Who's your guy is next on The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. After-